Our confession of faith dovetails very nicely with the admonition from our confession of sin that we ought not to neglect the Word of God. We've learned, I hope by now, that the reason that we have the Word of God in our hands, everybody has it in their home, is because of the Reformation. At the time of the Reformation, the Reformers were mostly Catholic priests. Why was that? They were the only ones who had access to the Scriptures and were able to read them in Latin and occasionally in Greek and Hebrew. So as a result of the Reformation and their cry, Sola Scriptura, our sole source of authority in all matters of faith and practice is the Word of God. But it was in Latin. So how could the ordinary people have any idea what it said? They translated it into the common languages at the cost of their lives. It was at the same time that the printing press was started. And so the Word of God was put in the hands of people throughout the world. How can we not take time to read it each day? What a gift it is. The Reformation was a struggle over the essentials of the Christian faith. Reformers' faith in the Bible against the Roman Catholic teachings was the controversy and the papal magisterium. Their battle cry was, Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone is our standard. Pointing to the Bible as the exclusive source of doctrine, Protestants nevertheless had to articulate their understanding of biblical teaching. The Reformation confessions then were a natural flowering of Protestant commitment to the Bible. What does, in fact, the Bible teach in each area? What does it teach about marriage? What does it teach about God? What does it teach about who man is? Those are the questions that they were responding to from the Bible. Over the centuries, the Church has always confessed faith in the midst of confusion and crisis. The role of a creed or confession is never to replace Scripture, but rather to sum up the Church's witness to the truth of Scripture over against error. The most famous examples of this impulse are the historic creeds like the Nicene and Chalcedonian creeds of the 3rd and 5th centuries. What's different about the Protestant confessions, however, is the desire of the Reformers for comprehensive reform. The issues of the Reformation did not involve just one doctrine or one set of doctrines. They involved the need for comprehensive reform in the Church. Like the early creeds, the confessions do not replace Scripture. Instead, they are articulations of what Protestants find in Scripture. In consequence, scriptural citations accompany each article of the confession to prove what is asserted and to invite readers, and this is important, to follow the example of Bereans in searching out the truth of what is written. The Bible is our standard, not a confession. Between 1520 and 1650, there were between 40 and 50 confessions written in the Reformed tradition. In the English-speaking world, the 17th century yielded the most lasting confessions. The Westminster Assembly met from 1643 to 1653 for 10 years. Among its products is the Westminster Confession of Faith and the larger and shorter catechisms. When English Congregationalists adopt their own confession of faith in the Savoy Declaration of 1658, it was a slightly modified version of the Westminster Confession. Again, when English Reformed Baptists set forth their confessions in London, they likewise based it on the Westminster Confession. Though there are differences in the treatments of baptism and church government or polity, there is otherwise substantial agreement among the English Protestant confessions. The Protestant confessions were often accompanied by catechisms or sets of questions and answers based on Scripture and the confessions. They're intended to be tools for discipleship, essential to the life of the Church. For example, most catechisms take us through the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer as essential basic teachings. In Providence Church, we have in the past gone through the creeds and the controversies which produced them. We've done that not long ago. We've also taken time to go through the Westminster Shorter Catechism and the Heidelberg Catechism. We now plan in our Confession of Faith the next several months to talk about the catechism accompanying the London Baptist Confession of 1689. We handed this out in the church, I think it was a couple of years ago, and I'm sure some people were here who didn't get it back then. There's additional copies back there in the back, so if you haven't got a copy of the London Confession and the catechisms, be sure and help yourself to one of those. Our focus is always on Scripture because all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How important are those things? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture is the answer for all our questions.